Hello, and welcome to the GCSE English Literature Study Guide podcast. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into one of Shakespeare's most powerful history plays, Henry V. Whether you're preparing for your OCR Component 02 exam or just want to understand this fascinating text better, this episode is for you. Over the next 10 minutes, we'll explore the key themes, characters, and exam techniques you need to master to achieve top marks. So grab your notes, and let's get started. Let's begin with the big picture. Henry V is a play about transformation, leadership, and the cost of war. At its heart, we follow King Henry V as he transforms from the wild Prince Hal of his youth into what the play calls the mirror of all Christian kings. But here's the crucial thing examiners want you to understand. This isn't just a straightforward celebration of a heroic king. Shakespeare creates a deeply ambiguous text that forces us to question the morality of war, the performance of kingship, and the human cost of political ambition. Now, one of the most important dramatic devices Shakespeare uses is the chorus. The chorus appears at the start of each act, directly addressing the audience and apologizing for the limitations of the theater. Lines like "Oh, for a muse of fire" and "Can this cockpit hold the vasty fields of France?" are meta-theatrical. They draw attention to the fact that this is a play, a performance. Why does Shakespeare do this? Because Henry V is fundamentally about performance. Henry must perform kingship convincingly to unite his nobles, inspire his soldiers, and intimidate his enemies. The chorus reminds us that we're watching a constructed narrative, not historical truth. This is absolutely vital for AO2, your analysis of writer's methods. Let's move into our core concepts. First, the theme of kingship and leadership. Henry is constantly aware that he's being watched and judged. In Act 1, when the Archbishop of Canterbury justifies the war using the Salic Law, Henry asks, "May I with right and conscience make this claim?" He's seeking public validation for a decision he's likely already made. This is political theater. Then we have the tennis ball scene, where the Dauphin mocks Henry's youth. Henry's response is measured, controlled, and terrifying. "When we have matched our rackets to these balls, we will in France play a set shall strike his father's crown into the hazard." Notice the extended metaphor. He takes the Dauphin's insult and turns it into a declaration of war, demonstrating his rhetorical skill and political calculation. But the play also shows us the burden of kingship. In Act 4, the night before Agincourt, Henry disguises himself and walks among his soldiers. He overhears their fears and doubts, and it weighs on him. His soliloquy afterwards, "Upon the king, let us our lives, our souls, our debts, our careful wives, our children, and our sins lay on the king," reveals his isolation and the crushing responsibility he carries. This is where you can bring in context about the divine right of kings. Elizabethan audiences believed monarchs were God's representatives on earth, but Shakespeare shows us the very human anxiety beneath the crown. The second major theme is war and morality. The play doesn't shy away from the brutality of war. Henry's threat to the citizens of Harfleur, "The filth and scum of war shall sully your fresh, fair virgins and your flowering infants," is genuinely shocking. He's threatening rape and infanticide to force a surrender. Examiners reward candidates who recognize this moral complexity. Then there's the execution of Bardolph, Henry's former tavern companion, for looting a church. Henry doesn't intervene. He upholds military discipline over personal loyalty, showing the harsh pragmatism required of a wartime leader. But the play also glorifies war, particularly in the St. Crispin's Day speech, "We few, we happy few, we band of brothers." This speech is one of the most stirring pieces of rhetoric in all of Shakespeare, creating a sense of unity and shared purpose. The question you need to ask in your essays is, does Shakespeare endorse Henry's actions, or is he inviting us to critique them? The answer is probably both. And that ambiguity is what makes the play so rich for analysis. The third theme is national identity. Henry V was written in 1599 during a period of national anxiety about succession and foreign threats. The play presents England, or rather Britain, as a unified force. We have English, Welsh, Scottish, and Irish soldiers fighting together. Llewellyn, Jamie, and McMorris represent this diversity. Llewellyn, the Welsh captain, is particularly important. He's fiercely loyal, disciplined, and draws comparisons between Henry and Alexander the Great. His comic mispronunciations, "prave" for "brave," might seem like mockery, but actually Shakespeare gives him some of the play's most insightful observations. This is context for AO3. The play reflects Elizabethan nation building and the construction of a British identity. Now, let's talk exam technique, because understanding the play is only half the battle. You need to know how to write about it. For OCR component 02, you'll be given an extract and asked to explore how Shakespeare presents a particular theme or character. The command word explore means you need breadth and depth. Analyze the extract closely, but also range widely across the whole text. Here's the structure that gets top marks. Start with a conceptualized introduction that directly addresses the question and establishes your argument. Don't just say, Shakespeare presents Henry as a strong leader. That's too simplistic. Instead, try something like, Shakespeare presents Henry as a leader who must constantly perform kingship, balancing public rhetoric with private doubt, ultimately suggesting that effective leadership requires both charisma and ruthlessness. Then, spend about half your essay on the extract. Use the Peel structure, point, evidence, analysis, link. Embed your quotations. Don't just drop them in. So instead of writing Henry says once more unto the breach, this shows he's brave. You'd write, Henry's imperative. Once more, unto the breach uses the collective pronoun we to create unity, while the metaphor of the breach transforms the soldiers into human weapons, depersonalizing them in service of the military objective. See the difference? You're analyzing language, structure, and effect. For the other half of your essay, select two or three key moments from elsewhere in the play. Don't try to cover everything. Depth beats breadth. Choose moments that genuinely develop your argument. And here's the crucial bit. Integrate context as you go. Don't write a separate paragraph about Elizabethan history. Instead, weave it in. Henry's claim to the French throne through the Salic Law would have resonated with Elizabethan anxieties about succession, as Elizabeth I had no direct heir, making questions of legitimate rule politically charged. Let's talk about common mistakes, because knowing what not to do is just as important as knowing what to do. The biggest mistake is retelling the plot. Examiners don't want a summary of what happens at Agincourt. They want analysis of how Shakespeare presents it. Every sentence should be answering the question. Second mistake, feature spotting without analysis. If you write Shakespeare uses a metaphor, you get no credit unless you explain the effect of that metaphor. Always ask, why has Shakespeare made this choice at this moment? What's the effect on the audience? Third mistake, ignoring the extract. Some candidates spend 90% of their essay on the wider text because they know it better. But the question says, starting with this extract for a reason, it's your springboard. Balance is key, roughly 50-50 between extract and wider text. Fourth mistake, bolting on context. If your essay has a paragraph that starts in Elizabethan England and doesn't mention the play, that's a problem. Context should illuminate your analysis of Shakespeare's methods, not exist separately. Right, let's do a quick-fire recall quiz to test your knowledge. I'll give you 5 seconds after each question to think of your answer. Question one. What dramatic device does Shakespeare use to frame each act and draw attention to the limitations of theater? The chorus. Question 2. Which character is executed for looting a church, demonstrating Henry's commitment to military discipline over personal loyalty? Bardolph. Question 3. Complete this quote from the St. Crispin's Day speech. We few, we happy few, we. Band of Brothers. Question 4. Which archbishop justifies Henry's claim to the French throne using the Salic Law? The Archbishop of Canterbury. Question 5. In which act does Henry disguise himself and walk among his soldiers the night before Agincourt? Act 4. How did you do? If you got all 5, fantastic. If not, go back and review those sections. Let's wrap up with your key takeaways. Henry V is a complex, ambiguous play that rewards nuanced analysis. Focus on these 3 big ideas. First, kingship as performance. Henry is always aware of his audience. Second, the moral ambiguity of war. Shakespeare both glorifies and critiques Henry's military campaign. Third, the construction of national identity. The play reflects Elizabethan anxieties about succession and unity. For your exam, remember, explore means breadth and depth. Balance, extract, and wider text. Integrate context into your analysis. Use sophisticated vocabulary and embed your quotations. And most importantly, always link back to the question. Every paragraph should be answering what you've been asked. You've got this. Henry V is a brilliant text, and with focused revision and smart exam technique, you can absolutely achieve top marks. Thanks for listening to the GCSE English Literature Study Guide podcast. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you next time.